Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer. Who is silent?
I'm refusing to respond until you change the introduction.
Okay. So today we got a question from Zach Parent, and Zach is one of our plus members for newchurches.com. And he sent this question in via office hours, which means we have already answered the question for him. But I wanted to actually ask this on the podcast because it's one of those questions that have just never been submitted. And we've done 417 episodes, so I thought it'd be a good one for our listeners. So here it is. We just moved to our church plant community. We're launching next April. We are starting events in the community and we'll have first vision gatherings in July. In my experience as a pastor, it would be visiting hospitals and, you know, all the other, I guess, normal pastoral duties that you would do. But he's asking, we don't have anyone on our launch team or our core group yet because they're launching next April. So his question is, every day, what should he do as a new church planter?
Well, I think that's, I mean, we even read about that in Planting Missional Churches. I think that is where the building of intentional relationships for hours each day. And I think, you know, I got to remember, because I mean, you change things in what they call the second edition of Planting Missional Churches. But so I don't remember if it's still in there or not, but we talked about dividing time into four quarters of your week. And one of those quarters, it's still in there. So it's 15 hours a week for a full-time person, is simply going around meeting people. And I know that seems odd, but it's doable. It's possible to make that. And so what I would do is I would specifically go to the places where people gather. I'd go to Starbucks. I'd just sit by some people and talk to them. I'd go to the grocery store. I'd have conversations with people in line. I would literally be a contact making machine. I'm actually watching this show on, I think it's Discovery Television right now. It's called Undercover Billionaire. And basically, I know it's strange. The reason I'm watching it is because it's in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I planted a church in Erie, Pennsylvania.
And you're an undercover billionaire too, right? So
you're watching it too?
No, I don't. No.
Okay. So Glenn Stearns, he heads to Erie, Pennsylvania. He's going to build a $1 million company in 90 days, and he serves up $100 in pocket. And I don't know how it ends yet because it's still ongoing. And what is fascinating is just how quickly he makes relational connections with people. And I think that's what church planters are supposed to do. You say, I don't have the personality skill set to do that, then we've got a problem, because that's what you're supposed to be doing, is making quick relationships with a group of people that then you lead into a gathering of a congregation. And in a sense, watching Stearns do this in Erie, Pennsylvania, having planted a church in Erie, Pennsylvania, I really see a lot of similarities between what he's doing and what we did. He just, you know, his for the sake is of finding business partners. For my case, it was to share the good news of the gospel. But the idea of meeting a large number of strangers in a particular amount of time is what we're ultimately looking at and seeing happen. And I think you can do that. So think in your head, where are people, and go there. So they're at Little League games, they're at the so-and-so, and just say, hey, I'm just meeting people here. I'm passing out some flyers, or just sitting in a coffee. Always have a business card with you. Pass out your business cards to everyone. Everyone sort of gets today that if you're an entrepreneur, and they'll probably see you that way, that you're going to pass out your business card. Hey, listen, my name's Ed Stetzer. I'm new to town. Here's a card, a church we're starting. Do you guys have any advice for me? Any suggestions for me? You can start conversations all day. I would do that over and over and over again.
So are you saying, I mean, obviously Zach is not preparing sermons because he's going to, you know, I mean, he's not preaching every single week, and he's not, he's parachuting in pretty much, right? Yep. Because he moved into his church plant community. So out of 40, 50, 60 hours a week, are you saying that is the predominant way he should spend his time these first few months?
I do.
Meeting everyone?
Absolutely. I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, you probably have some development where you're going to work with your supporters. You're going to write some sermons. but this is your job. Yeah. Your job is to get to meet the people of Erie, Pennsylvania, and show and share the good news of the gospel with them. So I think it's just a huge, there's nothing else to do. Nothing else to do other than that. So do that. I mean, in the old days, when I planted my first church in Buffalo, I went door to door. Went door to door every day, 5 hours a day for, I don't know how long it was, but every day, 5 hours a day, because I know nobody. So those are the people that I want to get to know. So go door to door. I mean, literally, that people are like, oh, that sounds so old school. I'm not saying knock on the door and say, hey, if you were to die today, you know for sure you go to heaven. I think what it ultimately boils down to is that I would knock on doors, say, hey, my name's Ed Stetzer. Hey, I'm new to town, starting a new church. You guys got any advice? So why do you think most people don't go to church nowadays? I mean, do a survey 5 hours a day and knock on doors, and you'll come away knowing some people that then they can be in your core group. You shouldn't wait in Starbucks studying the Didache to find all of a sudden these new people. You got to go get them.
That's incredible. Okay, so let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll give some categories around this. Just a quick word from our sponsor for today and we'll get back into the episode. Do you ever feel like you don't know where to start with volunteer training? Or if you do, is it hard to get everyone in the same place at the same time? Well, Ministry Grid makes it simple to train every volunteer and leader in your church. With a library of over 3,500 videos and 800 courses, you'll find training for every ministry area and leadership level. From volunteers to leaders to ministry directors, Ministry Grid's scope and sequence of training makes it easy to know who needs what training. And here's the best news of all. For the month of August, you can get unlimited access to Ministry Grid for your entire church for just $399 a year. And every year after that, you're locked into that price. If you want to take advantage of this incredible deal, just go to ministrygrid.com/podcast to get unlimited training for $399. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com/podcast. Now let's get back to the interview. All right, so Ed, I fully agree with you that needs to be the predominant way that we spend our time. I mean, I would say also begin to write some sermons for the first few months of your church, but that's not like that's the main thing that you're going to be doing every single week because you're still several months away. And in my experience, it's going to be hard to write a sermon for April when it's August.
Yeah,
so
true.
I would just say, as you get closer to April, if there are those moments as you're praying about the church and there are certain messages that God lays on your heart, write that out, right? Don't just wait till the week before after you launch because it's just going to ramp up quite a bit. So definitely spend some time categorically on that. But as it relates to spending time with others, I would just add on to what Ed said, you know, begin with praying for persons of peace. Right, because you're going to be spending so much of your time meeting people, connecting with people, starting small groups, finding launch teams, you know, having these discipleship conversations. Why not do it with someone else, right? So pray for persons of peace, not only to connect in and find ins into communities and into relationships that would just really accelerate your trust, that their trust in you because they trust that person of peace. But also pray for these persons of peace because that's going to open up doors that I know. I mean, if you're planning a church there, Zach, God is leading and you know that God has led you there. He's going to make a way for you, right? He is going to be going before you. He is going to be preparing a place for you. So trust that. Lean on him, lean into him, pray for those persons of peace, which also means do a lot of prayer walking as well, right? So spend time at Starbucks, spend time at the Little League game, go to the Chamber of Commerce, meet local leaders, right? Have those regular third spaces that you go to at the same time and sit at the same place every week, but do a lot of prayer walking as well. I would say join a church. Don't necessarily, I mean, I think there's definitely a time and season to visit and to connect with as many lead pastors as you can. And that would be another way that I would encourage you to spend your time. But I would say don't hop around to as many churches as you can, but pray for a church that God is bringing you to that could possibly even send you out, right? That you could be planting out of because you are parachuting into that community.
Yeah. I think I just want to emphasize that nobody would have asked this question 50 years ago. It's really, and I know it's funny, but it's really important because everybody would know that what we would do is find ways to meet the most number of people in the shortest amount of time, to introduce ourselves to them, and to find some way to have spiritual conversations with them. So this is what you need to do. If I go plant another church, which I will tell you, there are days I was at Calvary. I was preaching at Calvary Chapel, Rome, Italy, and I just loved in this small building, few dozen people starting. And I thought, came over to Donna and said, let's go get my guitar, get a stool, rent a space, go start something in Rome, Italy. She's like, I'm in. What I would do is I would recognize that I don't know people here. And I think what's happened is because church planning, we've got these launch mechanisms. We send out mailers. We do phone calls. We do advertising. Listen, just go meet people. And you say, well, I'm an introvert. Well, then do it for 6 hours and then go home and rest. Yeah. An introvert doesn't mean you're out of the responsibility of meeting a large number of people in a short amount of time. It's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, if you are introvert, extrovert, it's a spectrum. And if you are far, far on the introvert side of it, then maybe God might not call you to be a church planter.
But it's interesting. And I think of someone like John Wooster, who's an introvert, and he's like a machine of planting churches. But he also knows that, I think John's introvert. I think he told me that years ago. But I think he, for him, he just then takes the time away, or whoever it might be, to recharge by being alone. Great, but you got to get out there. I mean, there's no other way to do this other than building those relationships.
Oh yeah, and that's why I'm saying, it being a spectrum. Ed, I'm an introvert. I'm on the introvert side of it, but I've learned to be an extrovert. Right, I've learned to know when to connect and when to turn it on. But ultimately, when it comes to recharging, I mean, there's a different way that you recharge as extroverts and introverts, but in those situations, okay, what is your mission? What is your calling? What is your role? What do you need to do? And it's not spend 35 hours a week without a congregation studying.
Yeah. Which is what happens. What happened, and I used to see this. There was a place I used to work, and all these really heady, theologically Calvinist types. And they just wanted to plant. Again, I think Calvinists can plant great churches, and praise God for them, the reaching lost people. They just want to, man, I've been thinking about this. I spend 23 hours a day reading through this. I got to plant a church that aligns with this. And I'm like, yeah, you need to plant a church that reaches people who don't know Jesus. But if I just spend 20, 30 hours a week preparing my sermons and 20, 30 hours a week thinking about theology, well, churches just don't suddenly exist. They have to be planted, and they're planted, and planted is key, right? It's not started. It's planted.
Oh, that's
a
good.
Church is started. I mean, Andy Stanley hates it when, or I don't know, hates it, maybe the wrong door, tells me, don't say I planted a church. I started a church. It took 1,000 people from my dad's church. I started a church. But church planting means that in the soil of lostness, you are the sower and you are sowing the seed in the midst of a community by building relationships with people over and over and over again. And then from those relationships, looking for the opportunities for gospel sharing.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in to the New Churches Q&A podcast. Be sure to check out the Group Answers podcast as well with Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel, as they really focus in on groups and building growth tracks and building a healthy system for groups, which is incredibly important for church plants and for churches that are wanting to multiply. So be sure to check them out. Ed, what is that great saying that you learned from, I forget the group. It's, we need to first multiply individuals, and then we need to multiply.
Oh yeah, it was the Wesleyans. You multiply people, you multiply disciples, you multiply groups, you multiply ministries, you multiply churches.
Yes, love that. All right, well, thanks again for listening in.